Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
I'm glad I'm still standing. Let's turn to the word of the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. I want to talk to you about the censorship of the adversary. You may be seated. You know, censorship is not a good thing. We're guaranteed by the Constitution the freedom of speech. When I was a young man, there was a war in America against pornography, and I think the government must have given up on that war because they sure didn't win it. But the reason why they tolerated, they said, because we do not do censorship. But now they're trying to censor things we can say. And my question is, why didn't you censor it back then? But that's a whole different subject. But censorship is a terrible thing. It limits your voice. But my text says that faith speaketh on this wise. It has a voice. It speaks. Righteousness has a voice. The initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is speaking with a new tongues, according to a lot of verses in the Bible. And so the Holy Spirit has a voice. The Bible said, he that believeth shall speak with new tongues. James writes, and he said, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn them out their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even as a tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things not to be so. That's the reason why God chose tongues as the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because it's the most unruly member of the body. I've noted in years past, I don't know whether it's still that way or not, but I used to go downtown a lot and go to the jail, and they would have prisoners in the jail, and they were totally confined, except they had windows open, and they would be holding the bars, and they'd be shouting. They controlled everything but their tongue, and they could not do that. The psalmist David said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. He was talking about the power of the tongue. He would write again and say, my heart is indicted in a good master. I speak of the things which I've made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I love that phrase. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You know, the devil wants to be the governor of your tongue. He wants to censor your tongue. He wants to determine what you can say and what you cannot say. And he does that with regularity, quite successfully, to a lot of people. When we say the wrong thing, the devil is our biggest cheerleader. But there is power in what you say. Cursing cancels blessing. The Bible said, out of the same vessel should not flow blessing and cursing. So if you want to curse, that means using curse words and talk filthy. You're going to cancel your blessing. But not only that, if you're just negative and everything that comes out of your mouth is negative and you're critical and you attack people, you're going to cancel your blessing. Cursing cancels blessing. Bitterness cancels praise. People that are bitter do not praise God. Praisers are filled with gratitude. Praisers do not feel like they are entitled. They feel like God blessed them not because of, but in spite of. I feel tremendously blessed, Kenneth, but not because of what I've done. I feel blessed in spite of what I've done. Not because of my goodness, but God's goodness. Not because of my gracefulness, but because of the grace of God. The Bible said, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly, and delivering just Lot, vexed with filthy conversations of the wicked. We live in a time of filthy conversation, and it ekes more and more into public conversation. Newscasters are using more and more questionable words, but I want to warn you that filth cancels righteousness. When they were ashamed, when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. People are now bragging about things that they used to would have lied about and denied that they participated. The Bible said there will come a day when they will not blush. That's the day we're living in. Criticism cancels love. Criticism cancels love. If you're critical of your spouse all the time, it eventually will erode away and cancel the love that is expressed between you. Every word we say is cheered by a certain audience, one or the other. Every word you say, somebody's cheering it. Either the angels in heaven or the demons in hell are cheering what you say. There are three things the devil does not want you to say, and I would like to illustrate them very quickly. The Bible tells us of a man that was blind. His name was Bartimaeus. He was blind, and so definitely so that he was known as blind Bartimaeus. But somehow he heard about Jesus. We don't know how he heard about Jesus. We don't know what he heard about Jesus, but we do know that what he heard about Jesus was good. Because when he heard that Jesus was coming, we do not know that if he prescribed the course, if he got somebody to take him there, he knew that Jesus was going to be a certain parade route. He got there. We don't know how he got there, but he was there. And when Jesus was coming, Bartimaeus, the Bible said, he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he would hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. The devil does not like that. He doesn't like the fact that Bartimaeus confessed the identity of Christ. One of the greatest things that will ever happen in your life when you can identify who Christ is. He said, Jesus, the son of David. The reason why he called him the son of David, that enveloped all the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah. And so when Bartimaeus said Jesus, son of David, he distinguished him from all the other Jesus. He was saying, you are the fulfillment of all the prophecies that the Messiah would come. He was identifying Christ. The number one thing the devil is jealous. The devil hates God, and that's the reason why he hates you, is because you are a God son. You're a son of God, and so the devil hates you for that. And just because he's a hater, haters don't need a reason, they just hate. You say, they hate me because I'm black. Oh, no, they don't. They just hate you because you're a human. You know, the way you express hatred doesn't say anything about the person that you're hating. It only identifies you. Somebody said, you know, what do you want people to call you? It doesn't matter what you call me. It's not going to change me. You can call me Steve. You can call me Bishop. You can call me Hey You. Because it doesn't change me. It only identifies our relationship. And so the devil is just a hater. He hates you because you're a son of God, but he would hate you anyway. You know, the devil even hates sinners. If the devil didn't hate sinners, they'd be doing better. The devil is just a hater, but he particularly hates people that glorify Christ. And when you discover and you get a revelation of the identity of Christ, and your praise becomes a real factor in identifying Christ, the devil hates that praise. You know, the most perfect praise is the one the devil hates the most. Your most effectual praise is the one the devil hates the most. And so when Bartimaeus began to say, Jesus, son of David, the devil hated him. But the good news is, even though the devil hated him, do you notice one thing? The devil couldn't keep him blind. Friend, no matter how much the devil hates you, he can't keep you in sin. He can't keep you dying. He can't keep you blind from truth. He can't keep you miserable. If you will make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of David and you're my Savior, it's going to change your life. But what I find amazing is that the crowd around Bartimaeus were not necessarily anti-Christians or anti-Christ. They felt like they were protective of Christ. They said, Bartimaeus, don't cry out. The devil wants to censor you from identifying who Christ is. When you say Jesus is Lord, it makes people mad. Back many years ago in the 80s, I used to go to Dallas, Texas, and fly in there and preach all the time for a television production called Daystar. And it was pastored by a very successful guy, and he had a television network, and he was quite a guy. But he bought a location on Dallas, Texas, where he built his church on the freeway, 35, just like we are. But it had big smokestacks. And on those smokestacks, he painted, I mean, they're huge, like 300 feet tall or something, 200, whatever they were. It said, Jesus is Lord. Oh, he got all kinds of hatred for that. Now, why would anybody hate that? It's because the devil hates you identifying Jesus Christ. And so I want to spend my life identifying who Christ is. He's the Son of David. He is my creator. The Bible said there wasn't anything made that was not made by Christ. Do you know that? Sometimes we don't think about Christ as the creator. I want to identify him as my creator. Every day I try to do that in praise and prayer and witness. Jesus Christ, Son of David. And the devil wants to censor that, but he can't. Jesus, you are my creator. You are my savior. You are my redeemer. You are my help in the time of need. You are the one that picks me up when I fall. You are my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You are my awesome companion. You are the one that provides for me, not only spiritually, but psychologically and physically and mentally. Every piece of bread I eat, God, you supply it. Lord, you supply my cars, my transportation, my clothes. You supply my friends and my relationships. You supply the joy of my existence. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. I just want to, that just makes the devil so mad. You know, the best thing you can do about an enemy is make them so mad that they will leave. And the way you make enemies mad is brag on people they hate. One day a preacher stopped by this very building, knows the building next door, I'm sorry. And he said, Brother Steve, how you doing? We talked a while, and he said, you know, such and such church over there, he said, they're not doing well. I said, I was just over there Sunday. They have a Sunday afternoon service. I was there, and I said, it was packed wall to wall. He asked me to get him to say a few words. I said, he's doing wonderfully. And he said, you know the church over here on 60? He said, they're not doing good. I said, you know what? I just had dinner with him, and they're doing better than they've ever done. He named five churches, and I gave him a good report. He said, I got to go. I wanted him to go. I don't want people around me like that. And so the Bible said, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When the devil tries to censor me, I'm going to streak through my fingers. Oh, devil, you can't cover my mouth. He's a good God all the time. He's altogether lovely. He's wonderful, counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace. And the devil will leave you and go find somebody else that is not confessing Christ. Confessing Christ is an amazing weapon to get the devil out of your affairs and off of your back and away from your family. And so the Bible said they told him, they constrained him, hold your peace. But the Bible said that he cried a great deal. And because of that, his eyes were open. Friend, don't let anybody censor you in identifying the goodness of God in your life. Secondly, Peter and John were going to the temple. And there was a man laying there that had been lame from his mother's womb. And he looked up at them expecting to receive something, begging alms. And Peter said, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. He took him by the hand. As he pulled him up, his ankles received strength. And he went into the temple for the first time in his life, because he had been barred because of his infirmity. And the Bible said he went walking and leaping and praising God in the church. He would have fit in right here, praise God. But Peter and John did not get accolades because of this. They were taken in incarceration, and they were beaten, and they were despised because of the good deeds, because the people that were doing that were antichrist, and they were making Christ popular. People will hate you when you make Christ popular. But Christ is more popular in this earth. You know, there's a lot of wickedness in this world. But Jennifer, Jesus is more popular now than he's ever been in the history of the world, because we're drawing close to his coronation day. Christ is coming back. But when you make Christ popular, the anti-Christians will hate you because of it. And they hated Peter and John. And so they put them in prison. And they said, we're not going to let you loose. And people became upset. They said, they're making Jesus famous. It's being noised abroad. And they said, we'll let you go on one condition, that you never speak in that name again. And Peter said, oh, no, no, we can't make that agreement, because neither is there any other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. You realize that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is above all names. That's the reason I never use it lightly. I've said it so many times. I don't use the name of Jesus when I drop my car keys. I don't use the name of Jesus when I slam my hand in the car door. That hadn't happened to me since I was a little kid. That is the most painful thing that can happen to you. But I see people, they get injured, they get surprised. They say, oh, Jesus. Oh, no, I reserve that name. I reserve that name, praise God. It's like a bank account to me. Say, why don't I have a bank account? So you spend it all the time. I promise you, the more money you get, the more careful you be with it. When I was about 12 years old, I used to mow yards for a living. I was 12 years old, and I'd get paid, I think, $3 a yard back in those days. And I had a little desk in my bedroom, and I'd just take those dollar bills, and I'd just throw them in, and Daddy would come in, and it'd be like $15 or $20, but it'd all be once, and they'd just be in a big pile. And Dad sat down and said, you can't do that, son. You can't put your money out. You got to put it up somewhere. And so he taught me that. Well, let me tell you about the name of Jesus. It's not to be used casually. When I use the name of Jesus Christ, it means something. When I use the name of Jesus, all three worlds know that I'm serious. Hell knows I'm serious. Heaven knows I'm serious. And earth knows I'm serious. And so they said, don't speak in the name. See, the devil wants to censor you. And the way he does that is to keep you from using it, or using it in a trivial manner. Friend, you need to hone that name down to where it is a specialty weapon in your life. When you say the name of Jesus, demons run backwards, and angels stand and salute and say, yes, sir, what's your commandment? Because we do have authority over it. This is a sidebar. But the Bible said we were born and created a little lower than the angels, but when we got saved, we piggybacked over them, and now we are above angels. And the Bible said that angels are ministering spirits that run errands for the heirs of salvation. That would be we. And so praise God, when I say Jesus, demons run backwards, but angels stand and salute and say, yes, sir, what's your commandment? And I can command angels to go. And so you can't censor me, devil, from using the name of Jesus, because it's more powerful than Becky. Can you believe that? When I say Becky, things happen. And I don't say Becky Ann. Her mama said Becky Ann. Becky Ann Varno Fender. But Jesus is more important than that. But let me tell you, Becky will get my clothes cleaned. Becky will get my food cooked. Becky will, she don't rub my back though. Can we talk about that? But Becky gets a lot of stuff, but it ain't like Jesus. Oh, when I say Jesus, devils flee. When I say Jesus, angels show up. When I say Jesus, the whole Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit begin to come to my aid and work for me. When I say Jesus, it affects all three worlds. And the devil does not want you to use that name. I use it in prayer. I use it in worship. I use it in confession. I use it in healing. I use it in baptism. At the name of Jesus, every knee. You know, we're just ahead of the game. But it works and means something now. But eventually, every antichrist, every atheist, every agnostic, the Bible said is going to bow at that name. We're just ahead of the game. We're already bowing at that name. The Bible said it's a name the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And so when I name Jesus, something happens. But the devil hates it when I say Jesus. He has no power. He has no power when I say the name of Jesus. When I say the name of Jesus, all the works of Christ come into effect. His prayer in Gethsemane, his ministry on the earth, his death at Calvary, his resurrection from the tomb, all of that, and the devil just hates that. Every time the devil has been defeated by Jesus Christ, when I use the name of Jesus, it comes into play, and the devil wants to censor me in life, but he can't do it. I'm never going to quit naming that name. I'm never going to quit using that name. I'm only saddened that I don't have a male component to sing like Becky sings, that I could sing about that name. Oh, I'm like my brother. My brother said, I don't go to church, but if I did, I'd be real good. Friend, I don't sing, but if I did sing, I'd be real good. But I wished I could sing about that name. The writer said, oh, I wished I had 10,000 tongues to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. So, devil, you're not going to stop me naming that name. I know who Jesus is. Number one, I identify him. And number two, I use his name. And, devil, you're not going to censor me. And number three, the Bible teaches about when Jesus Christ came riding in and when he came in triumphantly. And the multitude, the Bible said, they begin to say, Hosanna to the King, and they begin to praise him, and they begin to worship him, all of his followers. But the multitude that was there tried to shame Christ and said, you're pretty arrogant, Jesus. You're letting those people worship you. You need to cause them to quieten down. And Jesus said, there's no need. He said, if I cause them to stop praising me, he said, the stones would cry out. The Bible teaches that the trees praise God. Friend, we don't, because we live in a different world and we don't speak the language, but the mountains praise God. The trees praise God. The birds of the air praise God. He owns it all. He's got his laundromat. He's got his name on every lawn, on the laundromat of every meadow. He's created it all. It all belongs to him. And so he said, there's no way that I can keep creation from praising me. But do you know that they want to keep you from praising God? That's the reason why some people don't like this kind of church. They have no problem for you cheering for the Spurs or Donald Trump or Kamala. So you're going to have people that are going to help you with that. But when you begin to praise Jesus, they want to censor you. Friend, you come too late. You can't keep me from praising the Lord. He's greater than Tim Duncan. And I met Tim Duncan and knew him and his wife personally. Great people. Great athlete. Maybe the greatest power forward ever lived. But oh, friend, I had season tickets when Tim was playing. He was awesome. But that doesn't compare to Jesus. I can praise people that do things, people that sing well, actors that are good, athletes that are phenomenal. I can praise the Kansas City. I can praise different athletes and different teams. But friend, I can't praise them like I praise Jesus Christ. He bought me when I was for sale on the auction block of slavery. He rescued me when I was dying. He saved me when I was in sin. He canceled my reservation to hell and punched my ticket to heaven. He's never, ever forsaken me. When I make mistakes, He turns them into miracles. When I sin, He blots them out with His blood. He has given me His righteousness. I just got to praise Him. And so somebody said, do it dignified. Friend, I can't do it. If I won the lottery and it was $500 million, I wouldn't just come up to you and say, I won the lottery. I'd kiss you no matter which gender you were. Oh, if I won five, I would be emotional. Well, friend, I'm going to tell you, when you made Christ your Savior, it was greater than the lottery. It was greater than your political candidate. It was greater than your sports figure. It was greater than your superstar. Oh, friend, and He never loses and He never will. And not only is He the winner, He's got you in His arm. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, friend, I'm sticking with Jesus because He's the winner. I have a friend that's one of Bill Clinton's best friends. He's got two pages in President Clinton's book. And they asked him, said, why are you such a friend with this Pentecostal preacher from Louisiana? And he explained it. He said, I was the governor of Arkansas. And he said, I got voted out. He said, I was real popular, I thought, but I got voted out. And he said, when I got voted out, he said, in Little Rock, Arkansas, nobody would give me the time of day. He said, if they saw me walking down the streets in Little Rock, they would cross the other side to avoid having to meet me where they had to shake my hand. But he said, this preacher said he was my friend when I was the governor. And when I got voted out, he called me every day to make sure I was all right. He'd come to see me and take me to dinner. Said when I was down, he was my best friend. And so he said, I'm president again. So he said, he's still my best friend. I'm never, ever going to forget what he did when I was down and out. Folks, I'm never going to forget Jesus when I was down and out. When I was hellbound, when I was defeated, I can't forget it. And so I'm going to praise Him, and I'm going to foolishly praise Him. I'm going to praise Him with a song, praise Him with a dance, praise Him with applause, praise Him by shouting, praise Him by crying, praise Him by clapping, praise Him by running, praise Him by dancing. Because I've got a feeling when I come to my end of my road and I meet Jesus, those people that are criticizing me and calling me a fanatic and saying he's just a radical Christian, they're not going to be there to support me. I won't know where they are. But the one that I am praising is going to be saying, well done. Come in, come in, come in. I welcome you home. I'm not going to let the devil, I'm not going to let the world, I'm not going to let culture censor me. I'm a born-again, Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking, Bible-believing, Jesus is Lord, heaven is real, hell is hot, Christian, and I cannot be deferred, I cannot be detoured. I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing, but as the Bible said, even the more so as I see the day approaching in the name of Jesus. I had a friend, he might be here today, he comes occasionally, he goes to another church across town now. But he told me about the towers that said Jesus Lord in Dallas. I won this young man to the Lord, and he was a salesman, and he traveled a lot. And so he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he came here to church, the building next door, and he was there. I preached one day, and he was just so broken, just so broken. And he waited around. He wanted to talk to me. I knew he and his wife so well. And I said, what's wrong? He said, I failed Jesus. I said, what'd you do? He said, I was riding in a car up 35 in Dallas, Texas. He said, there were six of us, all salesmen in this car. And he said, when we went by those towers, he said, they just began to curse. And said, they cursed Jesus. He'd only been saved 6 months or so. Had a drinking problem before he got saved. And he was crying. And he said, Pastor, I was so intimidated by those guys. I fell right in. And I cursed Jesus as we went by the side just to fit in. They censured him. And he said, now, he said, I know I can't be saved because I cursed the one that saved me. I said, no, now you're qualified to be an apostle, because that's exactly like Peter did. That's the reason why I love him. He loves us no matter what. If you've ever been censored in your life and you feel like it's really something that you can't overcome, the devil is a liar. You can overcome any failure, any sin, any falling. You can recover them all. We used to have a man come to this church, and he was the superintendent of another school district south of San Antonio. I believe he was the shyest man that I ever knew. He was very, very shy. He was just a nice man, real quiet. But he was superintendent. And so he was in a meeting. And so in the meeting they said, we need to fire such and such teacher. In the school board meeting, not the general public, but just the superintendents. And somebody said, why? Said she went to San Antonio and got involved in a cult. And we don't want her around our children. They said, how do you know? She said, she speaks with tongues. We've got to get her out of the school district. And so the whole board decided they would fire her. Ben, he was the superintendent, quietest guy ever. He let them all talk. He said, that might be an awful lawsuit. And then he said, and you're going to have to fire me too, because I speak in tongues. He said the meeting was over. They never mentioned it again. Friend, if you won't censor Christ, I promise you God will always send help. He'll always send help. He always sent help. We are living in a world that the Bible describes as wicked, lascivious. Friend, it's not a bad time. It's a good time. You can stand up for Christ easier than you ever could. And you will be surprised how many people, once you take your stand and you don't allow yourself to be censored, you'll be surprised how many people begin to honor you and salute you. Because down deep in their heart, there are so many people that really want to follow Jesus Christ, and they just don't have the strength. They're just looking for an example. Friend, Jesus stood up for me, and every opportunity I have, I'm going to stand up for him. And devil, you cannot take what I know about Christ. I know his identity. You can't take away the power of his name, and you cannot stop my praise for him. I am going to be a fanatic for Jesus as long as I live. Winston Churchill said a fanatic is somebody that wants to talk about one subject and one subject only, and they will not be diverted to any other subject. I want to be a fanatic for Jesus Christ because he is Lord and he's coming back. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord Jesus is in this room right now. I feel his presence. I feel his presence. And that's all Jesus is asking from us. You know, Jesus is not asking us to do a lot of things we think we need to do. He's just asking us to stand up for him and say, Jesus, I will attest to who you are and what you've done in my life to anybody. If you're in this room right now, you need to be assured that the Bible